Take your Bibles with me, if you would, tonight. And I aim to be brief, but I want to challenge you from a very familiar passage in Scripture. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to use the Great Commission this evening. And oftentimes when I have heard and I have even preached on the Great Commission, usually I start at verse number 18, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. But some time ago, and it's been just a couple of months ago, reading back through and actually heard another fellow missionary preach a message, and he brought out some stuff that I'm kind of borrowing my first 2 points from him. Then I added some more. But I want to start in verse number 16 tonight. Verse number 16. And I think I'd like to just remind us. Now, as I always say, not going to preach anything new. There's nothing new, but just some truths about the Great Commission. Notice in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But notice the last part of this verse. But some doubted. In verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Would you bow with me for another word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to be here with your church. Lord, thank you for the testimonies, how my heart rejoices. Lord, that's something we do often in Brazil. Almost every service, we have time for people to praise your name, to give thanks unto you. And Lord, I was strengthened just by listening. And Lord, so grateful to be here. Now, as we open your word, I beg of you, Father, we meet in vain if you, through the Holy Spirit, do not communicate truths to our heart. So, Father, I yield myself to you and ask that Jesus Christ be glorified through the message tonight. I pray that you'd challenge our hearts once again through the Great Commission. Lord, I love you. We love you. We're grateful to be together here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the Great Commission is called just that. No one here, I believe, is going to hear anything new as far as the commission. We know exactly what the commission is, but I would like to bring out four greatest from the Great Commission this evening, bringing you up to speed to where we're starting our reading in verse number 16. Does anyone remember what happens at the beginning of chapter 28 of Matthew? Do you remember it starts on the first day of the week, very early, and we find the ladies, the women go, Mary and Mary go to the tomb, and it's empty. Why? Because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Now, all the excitement, I can only imagine all the emotions, and you know, the last few days previous, boy, there was a lot of emotions that the disciples went through, that those ladies went through, that everyone had gone through, and they also had heard that Jesus Christ had risen. Now, in verse number 10, the Bible says that Jesus told these ladies, be thou not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. When we start our reading of verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so we find that Jesus had sent word, arranging a meeting place. Can you imagine the disciples? As they see Jesus for the first time after he has risen from the grave. First of all, I'd like you to see tonight the greatest person. As they see him, notice what the Bible describes them as doing. The Bible says in verse number 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now think with me. Here we find Jesus, freshly risen from the dead. He appears to his disciples, and he's not just a man. This is the God-man. This is the risen Savior. This is the victor over death. And in verse number 17, it says, they worshiped him. Let me ask it tonight. Peter writes it, describes it as this, unto us who are saved, he is precious. Is Jesus precious to you tonight? Listen, I know some great people, some people that I admire, but I affirm without any shadow of doubt, the greatest person that I have the privilege of knowing tonight is Jesus Christ. He is the greatest person who has ever walked the face of this earth. No other person in history has the right to demand the obedience of all nations, but Jesus does. You see, because he created all, he redeemed all, and guess what? Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 15 through verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It states this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him, that is by Jesus Christ, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Notice that in all things he might have the preeminence. Friends, listen, the greatest person that we find here is Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? Not only as a person, and some people know him as a great philosopher. I've talked to people and they say, oh, I believe he was a great philosopher. And you know, I scratch my head, and although, yes, you know, to some extent, I guess we could find some philosophy. Hey, listen, he's much more than a philosopher. Other people have said, you know, I believe he's a great example, and I agree wholeheartedly that he was a great, he was the greatest example, but he didn't come to philosophize. He didn't come just to be the greatest example. He is the greatest person. There is no other person under heaven, in heaven, who all need shall bend, every head shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, if you don't know the greatest person tonight, let me encourage you, don't leave through those doors without knowing the greatest person that has ever existed. That's just Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the final revelation of God. He's radiant and he's ruling. Now, we're not sent in our name, but we are sent in his name. We don't follow a system. We don't follow a denomination. We don't follow a dead prophet. But you know who we follow? We follow the living Christ. And because of who he is, because he speaks with unquestionable authority, it leads us to our next, in our second point tonight. First of all, we saw the greatest person. Second of all, I'd like you to see in our text, the greatest power. For you notice here, in verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now think of this. Jesus Christ begins the Great Commission by declaring his power, his authority over everything. Now, the word here, power, means authority. It doesn't mean just strength. It doesn't mean that Jesus here is sharing and he's telling us that he is the supreme ruler over heaven and earth. And his power is what he sends us to go. Now, because he holds the ultimate authority, the ultimate power, he commissions us to go. Now, think of that. This next Saturday, you guys are going to have an opportunity to go on base, set up a table. And hey, there's going to be people that come by and kind of look at you weird. What are you guys doing? Well, I don't think you should be out here. Okay, well, hey, we respect that, but we have a right to be out here. And we have, because why? We have been commissioned, not in our power, but Jesus Christ sends us in his power. Now, because he holds the authority, he commissions us to go. His authority becomes the foundation for our mission. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I'd like to read these verses. And I have made mention to them just a few minutes ago, Philippians chapter 2, in verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul stated it like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What power we have as believers, and we have been sent with this power. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Next time you say, well, I'm not sure if I can. Hey, you can't, but you've been given power. If you're saved, if you have been born again, you have been given power to fulfill what God has told you to do. And friends, oftentimes we become intimidated. Now, the gospel, a police officer, whenever he steps out onto a road or a highway, and there's an 18-wheeler loaded and just bearing down, he has the power to step out, put up his hand, and stop that 18-wheeler. Now, I ask you this. Does he have the human power to do that? The answer is no. If that 18-wheeler driver decides that he's not going to respect the authority, boy, he'd just run right over him, and that's it. But when he steps out there, he's not stepping out in his own strength. He's not stepping out in his own authority. You see, he carries a badge somewhere on his person that has been given to him by the state, by the city, that gives him the authority to stand out, hold up that hand, and that semi-truck stops because of his power. Now, friends, applying that to us, think of this. We don't go out in any state, city, government's authority. We go out with the greatest authority, the creator of heaven and earth. And he says, I'm giving you power to fulfill what I'm telling you to do. Now, the gospel, no one can stop the gospel. Well, how many over centuries and ages people have tried to stop the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm sure everyone perhaps have heard of two young Moravian missionaries back in the early 1700s. They were very zealous for the Lord, and their hearts started burning with they heard about this island in the Caribbean that was owned by a slave and plantation owner, and he bought slaves, brought them to the island, and would not allow anyone that was not a slave to be brought to the island. Well, with their zeal and their hearts burning and their desire to take the gospel to those enslaved people, they ended up selling themselves. Both of them sold themselves as slaves to that plantation owner. Well, when they got to the island, even the slaves kind of held them at arm's length, and they were very reluctant at first and very skeptic of these two young men. But you know what? Over time, the love, the humility, and the sacrifice that those two young missionaries made started breaking down the walls, and they started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel began to take root. And if you were to read their story, you'd realize entire communities of enslaved people were saved. Their lives were transformed. Now, it wasn't just an emotional comfort that they received. Literally, they were spiritually awakened. Why? Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, oftentimes you and I feel inadequate to share the gospel. Have you ever felt that? Sometimes I feel intimidated. You know, depending on, you know, sometimes, man, especially when you walk up to some big, huge house, you know, and you go to, or perhaps you're going to knock on the governor's door. You ever knocked on the governor's door? Yeah? No? But some people just kind of intimidate. But Christian, don't forget, we have been sent in the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in His power, we share and take the gospel. Our calling is not based on our ability, but on His authority. So as we go, and this kind of transitions into our next point. First of all, let me recap. The greatest person is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The greatest power He has given to us through the Holy Spirit enabled us to go and fulfill. Now, notice, I love this. He not only sends us, but we also find the greatest presence. For notice with me, the Bible says in verse number 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I," what? What does "am" mean? I am. He's stating a fact, right? He doesn't say I might be or perhaps I. He says I am with you. For how long, Brother Carlos? Forever. Always. I love that. This is the greatest presence you and I have. You see, He not only commissions us, He gives us the authority, but He says, hey, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I get excited when I think about once I got saved, I have felt lonely at times. Preacher, have you ever felt lonely? You ever felt lonely? I felt lonely before. But you know what? Every time I feel lonely, it's because I'm forgetting about I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Because He promises His presence always. That's one of the most special things about being a Christian. Even as we transition from this life to the next, we're not alone. Never alone. No. Never alone. And this is precious. The Great Commission comes with a great companion. And guess who that is? That's Jesus Christ Himself. He doesn't promise ease, but He promises His presence, not just temporarily. He promises it always. This is not a vague comfort, but it's a personal fellowship. For you see, He's in every conversation, every missions trip, every classroom, every pulpit, every act of obedience, He is with us. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You say, "Brother Charlie, that's the Old Testament." I understand. But you see, that God, Almighty, is not only of the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, He states it like this in John chapter 14 and verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Verse number 23, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him." You see, through the Holy Spirit, He's with us always. Now, I'd like to share. I've got two beautiful daughters. They're incredible, and I love my daughters. And some of you men have daughters here. And, you know, as a father of daughters, man, you want to take care of them. You want to make sure you're there for them. And if they need protecting, you're ready to protect them. If they need help, you're ready to help them. And we brought them back in 23, and we plugged them into Bible college, and I got two calls. I got more than two calls. But two of the calls were, "Hey, Dad, we got a flat tire." Okay? Now, as a father, whenever a daughter calls, says, "Hey, I got a flat tire. If I'm able, I'd like to be there and be able to change the tire for them. You know, well, take care of them." But guess what? It's a long way from Brazil to Texas. Just getting across the state of Texas is almost impossible, right? Yeah, Texas. Okay, but anyway. But you know what? Both of those times that their car had a flat, guess what? God had someone to come along and to help them through that. The first time, they were on a, Portuguese is now coming. They were on the, what's faster than a highway? It's the freeway, there we go. On a freeway there in Austin, Texas. And going along, all of a sudden, the tire, okay. Right there, exit ramp, get off the exit ramp. First entrance, they pull in, they stop their car, look up, guess what? It's a tire shop. Pickup truck pulls up behind them. A young man that was behind them, he's coming back from his work, his lunch hour, pulls in right behind, pops off their tire, change it. They fix it. I think it was even free. They fixed it. They couldn't change the tire, but they fixed that tire and free of cost. You know, it was neat because one of the girls commented and commented that they saw God do that. That's exciting. Why? Because you know what? I'm not going to be able to be with him forever. But the same one that's with me forever is with my daughters forever, is with my wife, is with each one of us here tonight. If you're saved, we have his presence forever. Now think of this. God was with Moses in the Red Sea. God was with David. When he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and not too long ago, someone mentioned this, and I'd never really thought about this. Perhaps you thought, I'm sure you've thought of this. You know when he writes about the valley of the shadow of death? Do you know you only have a shadow when there's a light? Think of that. So it's dark. It's just a shadow. Above that shadow, guess what's shining bright? Our Lord and Savior. Hey, listen, it's special. His presence is promised forever. I could mention several others, but let me encourage you, and quickly going on to our fourth and final point. Listen, don't let fear and isolation stop you. You're not alone. The greatest privilege is not just working for Him, but it is walking with Him. How precious it is to have the greatest presence with us at all time. Now, do you remember where we started our reading? The Bible says, and this is kind of transitioning into our fourth and final point, while some worshiped Him, the Bible says, and notice in verse number 17, it says, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some, what? Doubted. And I'd like to leave you with this final and sobering point that I personally believe is the greatest problem. Remember, we looked at the greatest person. We talked about the greatest power, the greatest presence. But now I'd like to leave you with what I believe to be the greatest problem, and that's unbelief. You see, unbelief, in the presence of the risen Christ, the Bible says that some doubted. And I believe this is the greatest problem of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, and if you would turn with me, and I have them written here, but I'm going to actually, because I want an extra verse here. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12. Have you ever doubted in your life? Have you ever doubted in your Christian life? Have you ever doubted as you witnessed? I don't think this person will ever be saved. Have you ever thought, well, I don't think I will be able to, perhaps in your service? You know, doubts come in many forms. But doubts not only are sin against God, but we also find that they harden our heart. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The next verse, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we were to read several other verses towards the end of the chapter, we'd understand. And the Bible clearly states there in Hebrews chapter 3 that the reason the children of Israel did not go into the promised land is because of unbelief. Unbelief. Now, before we start throwing stones at them, how often we doubt. We doubt that God can do what he promises to do. Even Jesus was hindered in his ministry by people's lack of faith. A very sobering passage is Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. It says, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he ran around about the villages teaching." What we understand from here is that Jesus did not do any great miracles at this particular place. He could have, but because of unbelief, he was unable, or he did not do because of the unbelief that was there. Now, church family, I'm excited at seeing what God is doing here in Leavenworth, Kansas. But perhaps you've doubted at one point or another. You know, sometimes we start down, we were at a church last Sunday. And before it was a sorority church down in Florida. And somebody came up to me before the service, like, "Brother Charlie, we had an awesome time. All afternoon we set up tables out here and had people come by the church. We led 5 people to the Lord." And talking to some of them, one of them said, "You know, we kind of put it off for a while because we didn't really think we'd have that big of a turnout." I thought, you know, oftentimes I'm kind of like that. You plan something big and you're like, "I don't know. I think, you know, it's, but you know what? What honors God is just childlike faith. It's childlike faith. I love seeing these kids up here singing. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love being a father. I remember when my girls were little bitty. Now they're little bitty. I mean, they're big, but little bitty. And I used to love holding, first of all, it was Lisa and it was Naomi's hand. You know, those little girls, they hold up and they grab hold of this pinky right here. But as a father, you know, you let them grab that pinky, but you just kind of hold a little bit that hand. And why? Oh, because that's my girl. I want to take care of her. If she stumbles, you know, little babies, but she's the cutest thing. Kids believe. You can put up on, you know, you put on a second story and say, "Jump to daddy." What are they going to do? They're going to jump to daddy. Why? Because they believe. My dad, he's the biggest man in the world. He's going to fulfill what he promises. Now, unfortunately, today, if I put him up on the second story and say, "Hey, jump to daddy." "Dad." And yeah, I probably couldn't catch him on the second story. But here's the fact. We need to get back to being children in our faith and seeing God for who he is. Listen, there is no greater person than Jesus Christ. He has given us the power, the authority to go. There's no greater authority. We go in his authority. We don't go alone. We go with him. Now, friends, if you're here tonight and doubts have perhaps plagued you, what the disciples doubted about, you know, it's all supposition. The Bible does not plainly state, but I do know some doubts that plague believers nowadays. For example, "I'm not good enough." You know what? To be honest, none of us are good enough. But don't doubt. "I'm not God. I don't think I can make a difference. No, this won't work." Another doubt, "There's no point. It's impossible." But yet, through Christ, everything's possible. When we find and we look at here, just a very familiar passage, we find that Jesus Christ, the greatest person, he gives us the greatest power. He promised the greatest present. If you're here tonight, and you're struggling with the greatest problem, Let me state this. Unbelief cripples our obedience. Doubt destroys our vision, but faith obeys. Even when you can't see, it's where you step out by faith and say, Lord, if you'll use me, if you're a young person, perhaps you feel the Lord calling you. And so I don't think I can. Hey, if he's calling you, because he has a purpose on your life. Perhaps you're just, there's a co-worker that the Lord's been putting on your heart. Let me encourage you, even if you've witnessed to him 100 times, let me encourage you, raise that shield of faith, step out. Don't doubt, but believe. God can still change his heart. Now, I do understand that each one of us have a free will. And even if you witness 101 times, 102 times, he can still reject the gospel. But I'll tell you what, do not doubt our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, to conclude tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, don't leave. I would love, if you're a man, I'd love to sit down with you with the Bible and share with you, present to you my greatest friend, the greatest person in Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners such as you and I. If you're a lady, there's ladies that are trained in the Bible who love to sit down and share the gospel with you, but don't leave without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians who are already saved, when was the last time you realized the power, the authority that you have? Perhaps you've been discouraged. Perhaps you've had a door slammed in your face. Let me encourage you. Don't forget. Take courage. Jesus Christ is coming back, and it does make a difference. Get out there. Share the gospel, and it's for his glory and his glory alone. And if you're here tonight and you're doubting, I trust that you've seen, through the authority of the Word, Jesus Christ is all that we need. We have everything. May God help us not to give in to our doubts, but just like a simple child, raise our shield of faith, look up and say, with you, with me, as long as you're with me, I will step out and obey. Let's bow our heads in prayer.